starting now.
Black Clock Audio Tales, May 2019, Hawaiian Folklore and Legends, edited by Daniel Spitzer, music by Kevin MacLeod. Help the show by sharing, rating, liking, or five-star giving wherever you listen to or rate podcasts. Support the show by hitting the patron button on pgttcm.podbean.com or by going to paypal.me/pgttcm. And don't forget to visit pgttcm.com. Brought to you by BunnySlippers.com. Check out their new Dino Sound Slippers. Is that the name? They roar every third step. Very cool.
The Story of Lei Kauai, Part 2. 3. The King and Queen of Kauai both died a short time after the events just before recorded. They left the sovereignty of the island to their son, Kekalua Koa. They also left his charge a magical bamboo, ohi, called Kani Kauai, and enjoined upon him a promise to seek out and marry Lei Kauai, of whom many reports had reached Kauai. The new king ordered an immense fleet of canoes for his trip to Hawaii, and sailed in the month of Mahumiu, or August. At Makahanaloa, he saw the rainbow over Kiau and sailed thither. Waka foresaw his coming and advised Lei Kauai to marry him and become the queen of a whole island. After waiting 4 days, Lei Kauai and her kahu, the hunchback, went down to Kiau and watched the king and his two favorite companions sporting in the surf. They knew the king by not his carrying his own surfboard when he landed. She returned to Palui and informed Waka that she would accept him for a husband. Waka then arranged that Kekalua Lekuia should go at sunrise the next morning and play in the surf alone, that a dense fog should settle down, under cover of which Lei Kauai would join him in the surf, that when the fog raised, the two would be seen by all riding in together on the same roller, and then they were to touch noses. A fog would again envelop them, and then birds would bear the pair to Palui. She was forbidden to speak to anyone after leaving the house. Now it appears that Halalani'ini, a young man of Puna, noted for his debaucheries, had often seen Lei Kauai at Kiau and ardently longed to possess her. Learning that she was about to marry the king of Kauai, he implored his sister Malio to exert her magical powers in his behalf. She consented, and by her direction, they both went to sleep, and when they awoke, related to each other their dreams. She dreamed that they saw a bird building a nest and leaving it in the possession of another, which was a sure omen in favor of Hanaini. Malio declared that her magic powers would prevail over those of Waka, and gave her brother minute instructions, which he strictly observed, as will appear. They went to the beach and saw Kekalukaluakiwa swimming alone in the surf. Soon the fog of Waka settled down on the land. A clap of thunder was heard as Lei Kauai reached the surf. A second peal resounded, invoked by Malio. The fog lifted, and three persons instead of two were seen in the surf. This was noted with surprise on shore. When the first roller came, the king said, "Let us go ashore," and he rowed in on the breaker with Lei Kauai, while Halaani remained behind. At that moment, the king and his companion touched noses. Three times they rowed in on the waves, while Halaani, as directed by his sister, remained outside among the rollers. The fourth time, Lei Kauai asked the king why he desired to repeat the sport so often. used to the short surf. I prefer to ride on the long rollers. The fifth was to be the last time for the Kauai King and his promised bride. As soon as the two started for the shore, Halakaini seized Laikawai by the feet and held her back so that the surfboard slipped from her grasp, and Kikalukaloka was borne to the shore without her. She complained of the loss of her surfboard, and it was restored to her. Halakaini persuaded her to swim farther out to sea with him, telling her not to look back, as he would let her know when they reached his surf. After swimming for some time, she remonstrated, but he induced her to continue on with him. At last, he told her to look back. "Why?" she said in amazement. "The land is out of sight, and Kumakahi, the sea god, has come to stir the waves." "This is the surf of which I told you," he replied. "We will wait and go in on the third roller. Do not in any case let go of your surfboard." Then he prayed to his patron deity, and the breakers began to rise. As the third came thundering on, he exclaimed, "Pakua!" And mounting the roller, they started for the shore. Laikawai was in the overhanging arc of the wave, and looking up, saw Halakaini poised with great skill on the crest. At that moment, she began to yield to the seductive fascination of Halakaini. As they came in, Waka supposed her companion to be Kikalukaloka, and she sent down the birds in the fog. And when they cleared away, Laikawai and Halakaini were occupants of the feather house at Palui, where their union was consummated. Waka wondered why her granddaughter did not come to her that night or the next day, as had been promised. And the day following, she went to the house to learn if anything serious had happened. Laikawai and her husband were soundly sleeping. Waka was enraged, for the man was not the one she had selected. Waking her granddaughter and pointing to the man, she exclaimed, "Who is this?" "Kikalukaloka," was the answer. "No," returned Waka, "this is Halakaini, the brother of Malio." Angered at the deception, Waka declared that she would deprive Laikawai of her powers and privileges, and desired never to behold her face again. Abandoning Laikawai, Waka resolved to assume the charge of her twin sister, Laikiholi, and wed her to the king of Kauai. She had been left, as it will be remembered, with the priest of Kukaleloko on the island of Oahu. To this end, Waka had a new house erected, and borrowing a double canoe from Kikalukaloka, sailed at once for Oahu. Arriving at Kukaleloko, she offered a pig as a propitiation and explained her errand to Kapa Kaluha, who approved her plans and delivered Laikohilohi into her charge. After an absence of 33 days, Waka returned to Kiu with the sister of Laikawai. At her command, the fog gathered, and they were secretly borne by birds to their new house at Palui. Within 3 days, she had a consultation with Kikalukaloka in relation to his marriage with Laikohiloi. She directed him to build a large kilu shed, and there assemble the people of the district, that the ceremony might be celebrated with becoming pomp. Meanwhile, Halakaini had seen Laikohiloi and determined to secure secure her for himself. With this object, he persuaded Laieikawai to go down to Kihei with him for a few days of sea bathing, leaving her faithful attendants behind. Arriving there, he told her that he was about to visit his sister, Malio, and if he did not return in 2 days, she might consider him dead. On the 12th day, the five sisters went down to Kihei and joined their mistress in wailing over her husband, whom she believed to be dead. Soon after, they all had dreams of Haleani with another woman, and concluded to cease their mourning and return to Palini. Haleani visited his sister and induced her to assist him in his designs concerning Laielohelohe. She advised him to watch for her for 4 days and report his observations. He did so and reported that her chief occupation was stringing lehua flowers, and he climbed a tree to observe her while his sister sounded the pulei or tea leaf trumpet 5 times and again 5 times. But Laielohelohe did not take the slightest notice of it. The next morning they went there again, and he climbed a tree with a mass of lehua blossoms and threw them down before her, while his sister played the hano, a sweet-toned wind instrument. This attracted the attention of Laielohelohe, and without seeing the musician, she expressed her thanks. The morning following, they repeated these maneuvers 3 times. Then Laielohelohe spoke and said, "If the musician is a woman, let us touch noses." With this, Malio showed herself and proposed that she should touch noses with her brother first. This angered her, and she ordered both of them to leave. Malio admitted her failure, but promised to resort to supernatural agencies and win Laielohelohe for her brother on her wedding day, as had been done with Laieikawai. About this time, Waka went down to communicate to Kikalukalokiwa her program for the marriage ceremonies, fixed for the day following. He was to order the people and his court to assemble at the appointed place, and at noon was to retire to his own house. She would then cover the land with a thick mist, and the singing of birds would be heard. First, the quack of the alley and the chirruping of Iwawaki, on hearing which he would step without the house. Next, he would hear the singing of the oo, which would indicate that she was about to send him Laielohelohe. Then would be heard the notes of the Iwipolena, and his bride would be near him. Lastly, he would hear the singing of the kahuli, and they would meet apart from the assemblage. When thunder would peal, the earth would quake, and the people would tremble. Then the two would be borne upward by birds. The mist would clear away, and they would be seen resting upon the birds in glory. Laieikawai and the five sisters were anxious to witness the coming display, of which they had heard, and Kahalompauna engaged to the Mu god Kihanui Lulonku to convey them thither at the appointed time. Malio assured her brother again that her power would prevail over the efforts of Waka, and the preliminaries of the ceremony began. At noon, Kikakaluakua, dressed as became the occasion, entered his house, as had been arranged. He heard the singing of birds, came forth in the fog, and awaited the coming of his bride. A clap of thunder followed, when the fog lifted, and Kohilohi and Halaani were seen rising in the air on the wings of birds. Laikawi and her attendants witnessed the ascension, sitting on the tongue of the great Mu. Believing that he had again lost his bride, Kikalukalokiwa sought Waka to chide her for the failure. "She is not his yet," said Waka, "for she has obeyed my command not to speak to or touch noses with him." And to reassure the king, she offered to stake her life that all would yet be well. As they approached the place of assembly, Waka again enveloped it in fog and immediately sent Kikalukalokiwa upward in the air on the wings of birds. When the fog cleared away, Kikalukalokiwa and Laikolokilohi were behold sitting together, upborne by birds, and the multitude shouted, "Hawanalui, the chiefs are married." When Waka heard these acclamations, she appeared before the congregation and denounced Laikawai in the most opprobrious terms. The latter departed in shame and rage, and was carried by the Mu, together with the five sisters, to Ola, where she took up her residence. Haliani's misdemeanors finally brought him into great contempt, and he was despised and condemned by all. The Kauai king returned home with his bride, taking with him Waka. On their way, they stopped at Oahu to take on board the priest Kapu Kai Hoa, who became the prime minister of Kauai. 4. The sisters of Aiwohikupua, chagrined at what had befallen their mistress, resolved to send Kahalaopauana to Kilalohilani in a far distant land to bring their brother Keonhiokala to marry Laikawai in order that she might triumph over Waka. Accordingly, she started on her voyage, being carried by the gigantic Mu god Kihanulumoko. Meantime, Laikawai and her train made a pleasure trip around Hawaii, first to Kau, then to Kona, and next to Kohala. Becoming discouraged, the old prophet of Kauai had left Kahiwahili, Hawaii, and started for his native island. Touching at Waimea, he saw the well-known rainbow over Kaiopi, a half-hour's journey north of Kauai, and followed it to Mulao, and then to Puke in Kohala, where he finally met and conversed with Laikawai. He procured a double canoe for the party, and they sailed together to Laiohau, where he learned the history of Laikawai. That night, his guardian deity informed him in a dream that she was the person he had been seeking for so long, and directed him to take the party to Haina, Kauai. In the morning, he offered a pig and fowl before her and obtained her consent for him to become her guardian. Then he sailed for Kauai and settled at Honopuwaikua. In one of his subsequent tours, the prophet found, on arriving at Wailua, that all the virgin daughters of the petty chiefs and courtiers on Kauai had been collected there, in order that Aiwohikupua might select two new wives to take the place of Polaihu and Haina Kamalama. The prophet spoke so contemptuously of the girls brought there for inspection, and boasted so loudly of the beauty and graces of his adopted daughter, that quarrel arose and he was thrown into prison. He escaped during the night, however, and it was reported to the chief that he was dead. He had left a banana trunk wrapped in cloth, and it was offered on the altar of the Heiau in the place of his body. At the moment when the deception was discovered, the prophet made his appearance on the platform of a double canoe at the mouth of a river, with Laikawai and the five sisters on board. Then Laikawai stepped upon the platform, surrounded with the insignia of a taboo chief, and the wind ceased, the sea rose, thunders reverberated, lightnings flashed, and the Heiau and altar were shaken almost to ruins. The assembled multitude shouted in admiration of the beauty of Laikawai and Awakupulu. After recovering from the shock of what he had witnessed, sent a herald to demand her in marriage. But the prophet proudly answered that she was not for such as he, and would marry no one of lower rank than the sovereign of an island. They then returned to Honopuawaikua. We will now return to Kahalumapamapaua, who was sent to a far distant land in search of her brother, in the hope of making him the husband of Laikawai. For 4 months, the great Mu swam with her in his mouth, and they arrived at last at Kealohilani, but the guardian of the place was absent on a visit to the moon, and they awaited his return for 20 days. On his arrival, he was greatly alarmed at the sight of the gigantic reptile, lying with his head in the house and his tail in the sea, and without a word flew to Numalani to consult Kealiokamalama, the powerful Kupa, who shut the door on the Pia Kupu of the Kukulu o Kahiki, where Kealiokamalama was concealed. They returned together, the Kupua armed with a lau palu 100 paces long, with which to slay the Mu. Just as he was preparing to strike, the Mu stirred his tail in the ocean and sent a tremendous breaker rolling inland, and they both started to retreat. At that moment, the Mu cast out Kalalauapuana on the neck of her uncle, Kealiokamalama. He asked her who she was and the object of her visit, which she explained, and also their relationship. They both embraced her affectionately, for they were brothers of her mother. In furtherance of the purpose of her visit, Kealiokamalama took his niece with him on a 10 days' journey to the place of ascent, where he called upon Lana Nui Makua to let down the ladder. Before long, a sort of spider's web, branching through the air, descended. He then gave his niece full directions as follows. Here is your way to ascend until you see a single house standing in the moon, in the land of Kahakikia, where dwells Mona Lihai Kawakili, your father, an old man with long hair and bent head. If he is awake, do not approach him, lest he see you first, and you die before you have a chance to speak. Wait until he is asleep on his back, then cautiously approach from leeward, spring on his breast, grab him tightly by the beard, and chant the mele in which I will instruct you. Instructing her in the mele, he continued, explain to him the object of your visit, and all will be well. She was about to begin the ascent when he imparted this final information. in ascending, if fine rain falls and you are chilly, fear not. It is caused by your father. Climb on, and should you smell fragrance, know that it is caused by your mother, and that you are approaching the end of your journey. If the sunbeams pierce you and the heat beats upon your head, do not fear. Persevere, and you will enter the shelter of the moon and be safe in Kahakia. With these instructions, she boldly began the ascent, climbing upwards without ceasing. Toward evening, she encountered fine rain and mist. Early next morning, she smelled the fragrance of the shrub Kili. At midday, she suffered from the heat of the sun, and in the evening entered the cool shade of the moon in the land of Kahakia. Observing a large house standing alone, she proceeded to the lee side and waited until the old man fell asleep on his back. She then grasped his beard and chanted the mele, as instructed by her uncle. He awoke, but she held him where lay his strength, and his struggles were vain. He asked her who she was, and about her relatives, and her answers were satisfactory. She then let go his beard, and he took her on his knee and wailed over her. He then inquired the object of her visit, and she related the whole story. He informed her that it was not within his power to grant her request, and that she must apply to her mother, who lived with her son, Keon Ki Kokala, in a sacred, inaccessible place, and only visited Kahakia once every month. By stratagem, she obtained an interview with her mother, Lawa Ki Lua, and after great persuasion, secured her assistance in advancing the purposes of her visit. The old woman then summoned the bird god, Halu Lu Ki Ki Hio Kama Lama, to take them up into the Pikapu of the Kukulu O Kakiki. The bird reached down a wing, upon which they both mounted and were carried to Awikia Noon, the god who opens the gate of the sun, where dwelt Kano Kihu Kala, the eyeball of the sun. They found the place shut in by thunder clouds. They called upon Awikia, who rose with intense heat and dispersed the clouds, disclosing to their view the prince asleep in the very center of the sun, where the air was white with heat. He awoke, his eyes were like lightning, and his body gleamed like molten lava. Laakilua called to him and said, "Your favorite sister is here." He looked up, and then summoned the guardians of the shade to appear and stand before him. This they promptly did, and the heat of the sun was mitigated. His resting place being thus shaded, he called his sister to him and wailed over her, for they had been separated for a long time. He inquired the object of her visit, and about their sisters and brother, Awokipua, and was interested in all that related to them. Though the advice of his mother, he consented to descend and marry Laikawai, and the signs of his coming, he explained, would be as follows. First, there would be a heavy rain and high surf before he started. Next, there would be strong wind for 10 days, followed by thunder without rain. Then he would be in Kahakia. When it thundered again twice, he would be at Nu'aliani, and when it thundered thrice, he would be in Kealohikalani. There he would lay aside his taboo, supernatural form, and assume the human shape as a high chief. After this, there would be many portents rainbows, high seas, and mist on the ocean, and in 1 month thereafter he would appear on the mountain ridge at dawn. When the sun rose, a halo would surround him, and in the evening, when the full moon rose in the night of Malahilani, he would appear and marry Laikawai. After this, he would punish the enemies of his sisters and his bride. As a token, he gave to his sister, for Laikawai, a rainbow robe. Kahalapuana was a month in returning to Kilohiani, where she found the Mu in waiting for her. He swam with her across the great waters to Hawaii, but not finding their friends at Ola, he hunted all through the islands, like a dog scenting for his master, until he found them at Honopuwaikua, Kauai. The whole trip occupied 11 months and 14 days. Kahalaomapuna gave her friends a full history of her extraordinary journey, to the dismay of Laikawai, who was awed at the thought of her intended husband. The prophet, who knew nothing of the mission of the sister until her return, had predicted the coming of Kau no Hiokala a month before, and now he traveled around the island, warning the people and advising Aiwokupua in particular to set up tabu flags all around his place and collect his family within the precinct. But he was repelled with insult. He gave the same advice to Kekaluakulukaiwa, who obeyed it in spite of the opposition of Waka. 10 days after the return of Kahalaomapuana, the potents began to appear in the order already named, and in due time Kanaohiokala appeared, surrounded by a halo. Shouts of acclamation and homage were heard throughout the island, and Laikawai put on her rainbow robe. In the evening, as the full moon rose, the prince descended from the mountain and came within the circle of the prophet, and they all prostrated themselves before him. He spoke graciously to them and told Laikawai that he had come to make good the promise made to her through his sister. Then all shouted, "Amana, Ua Noa, Lele Wale Au La." A rainbow appeared, and on it the prince and his bride were suddenly drawn upward to the moon. A few nights after, as the moon was directly overhead, a rainbow was let down like a ladder, on which they descended. Summoning the prophet, the prince directed him to travel around the island and make proclamation for all to assemble at the end of 10 days at Pihakalani. The five sisters, and afterwards the prophet, were taken up to dwell in the coolness of the moon. One morning, the assemblage at Pihakalani saw the rainbow again let down from the moon, and standing upon it were the prince and his bride, the five sisters, and the prophet. Vengeance was executed upon Waka, who was killed by a thunderbolt, and upon Awakapua, who was reduced to poverty and contempt. Leilokihoi and Kikalaluakua were retained in favor under Kahalaomapuana, who was designated as the regent of her brother, and the four other sisters were made the governesses of the rest of the islands of the group. The affairs of state being thus summarily settled, Kanaohiokala again departed with his bride up the rainbow beyond the clouds to dwell in the Pikapu o Kukulu o Kahi above the land called Kaha Kai Kai.
5. Kahuhiokala made quarterly visits to his earthly dominions to see that all went well with their rulers. Laikehulili had grown more beautiful than her sister, and he became enamored of her. To promote his designs, he made Kahalomapua join regent with Mokulekahini in Kealeholani and appointed Kikalukalokiwa to the regency of the entire group. He then requested the regent to make a tour of the islands, leaving Laikohiloi at Pikanalani. He next applied to her guardian, Kapukuhahoa, and gained his consent to aid in her seduction. After Kanohikohala had made two more trips to Earth in furtherance of this intrigue, Laikohiloi resolved to seek her husband and set sail accordingly for the Windward Islands. She found him at Honokalani, Maui, engaged in an amour with Hinikalkama Lama, the Hana chiefness who had abandoned Aiwokapua. After unavailing efforts to reclaim him, she returned to Kauai. Keohikala then renewed his visits, and at last remained a year with the deserted wife. The forsaken Laikawai appealed to her father-in-law, who directed her to go to the Tabu Hiu when old Laukaua was asleep, and consult the bowl of knowledge. It was a wooden bowl covered with wicker work, the edge of the lid being decorated with feathers and with carved images of birds standing on the rim. She was to remove the lid, insert her face in the bowl, and call Laukapili to give her the knowledge she required. She followed these directions and saw what her husband was doing on earth. His father and mother also looked and observed for themselves the treachery of their son. Straightway the latter was let down to the presence of Kanohiokala. The sky was darkened and filled with uncanny forms, and ghastly voices wailed through the air. Uahalikalani, the heaven has fallen. Then the three were seen standing together upon the rainbow ladder, and Monalihaikawokili proceeded to pronounce judgment on Kaohiokala. He was never to return to the upper world, and was doomed to become a lapu, a specter or wandering ghost, and live on butterflies. Kalalaopaana took his place in the sun. Laikawai, at her earnest request, was restored to earth to live with her sister, and the government of the group was entrusted to the prophet. Laikawai had her name changed to Kawani o Kaluia, the Lady of the Twilight, under which title she was worshipped by certain families after her death.
Black Clock Audio Tales is edited and produced by D.B. Spitzer in Badger's Drift Studios in Portland, Oregon. You can contact us at pgttcm.com, on Facebook at Black Clock Audio Tales, and just look for us, Black Clock Audio Tales. Thank you.